There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Nitzavim, Tov Shin Pei Hei, the very last Shabbos of this year, as we stand on the threshold, less than 72 hours away from the new year, Tov Shin Pei Vav, Rosh Hashanah Bo Leinu L'Toivah, the Yom Adin, the Yom of such expectation, such excitement, and such trepidation. A warm welcome to all of our radio family. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, to share a few minutes before this hectic Shabbos of preparation, of introspection, of thinking about the parsha, of thinking about what it is that we have to do to prepare ourselves for the Yom Adin. As always, we're privileged, Baruch Hashem, that the program is sponsored as a refuah shleima for cholim in this country, all over the world. For example, Avram ben Golda, Ben Tzvi ben Leah, Oren Shalom Zev ben Chanarus, Aaron ben Pesia, and Dina Michal, Basipora Liba Basagolda, Yunis Lima, Basprocha, and Ateret, Bat Rivka Besoich, Shor, Chole Yisrael, amongst all those who are so needing a refuah, so needing a Yeshua, so needing, as I always say, a loving caress from the Rabbanu Shalom. May this be the time, as our Kodesh Baruch Hu sort of finishes up the year and gets ready to start a new cheshbon. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring all the yeshuas, all the nechamas, all the simchas that people need in their lives. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You are all standing today, lifnei Hashem lakechem, before Hashem. Rashi brings Chazal, Tanchuma, who explain the juxtaposition of nitzavim and Parshas Kisavai. When the people heard the frightening litany of 98 curses, right, which comprised the second Tachacha, right, the admonition, they turned colors from fright at what appeared to them to be a limited likelihood of a positive future. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, no, you're all here today despite having angered Hashem a number of times. Rav Yaakov Naiman explains that the Torah's wording, Nitzavim Kulchem, standing, all of you, is deliberate and profound. It does not merely state that the Jewish people stood before Hashem. It underscores the kulchem, all of you. We are all standing due to the inclusivity of everyone into the larger collective of Klal Yisrael. No hierarchy, no sort of varied echelons. Everyone as one kulchem. Rav Simcha Zissel Broider, the Alter von Kelm, notes that this parsha is read on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, the day on which we are all judged, the day Hashem decides our fate. The Torah reminds us that the power of the individual is magnified exponentially when he becomes part of the klal, right? He becomes part of the whole greater collective. As individuals, we are vulnerable. As a nation, Klal Yisrael is indestructible. And that is the secret of our survival. Nitzavim implies permanence. Our nation endures when we are kulchem, when we're all together, right, as one. As we approach the Yom Adin, it is a time to draw closer to our fellow Jew, not just the ones who are sort of like us, but even those who may be a little bit different, who are not on the sort of same page as we are, who sort of travel in a different orbit. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch Zal, in his commentary to Vayikra Chavov, famously says, the destiny of the individual is bound up in the destiny of the nation. We rise and fall together. We are all united by the same cause to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill His rights and His will. In times of joy and in times of adversity, we should remember that when we all join together and we all value each other and we stand as one, joy echoes louder and sorrow softens sooner. For in togetherness, every triumph is brighter and more meaningful, and every tear finds comfort. May the coming year be one of joy and satisfaction for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen v'chein yi ratzon. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. Please stay with us. There's so much more coming.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Pashas Nitzavim, the ultimate Shabbos of the year Tavshin Pehei. Just 72 hours approximately until we reach Rosh Hashanah Yom HaGadol HaKadosh, Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, the Day of Our Judgment. And we need to talk a little bit about what is our attitude towards Rosh Hashanah. How do we prepare? What should we be feeling during this time? So the Chasam Sofer, and in the beginning of this week's Parsha, brings the words of Tosfos in Psachim, where Tosfos brings down, quoting the Medrash, that the Medrash says that there are 147 chapters in the book of Tehillim, which corresponds to the lifetime of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we know, lived 147 years, and corresponding to that, there are 147 chapters in Tehillim. Now, the source for this Tosfos is actually a Gemara, a Yerushalmi, in Maseches Shabbos, beginning of Perek Tesvav, where Tosfos actually said, or the Yerushalmi actually says there, 147 Mizmoiros, 147 songs that are written in Tehillim, correspond to the years of Yaakov Avinu. This teaches us that all the praises that Klal Yisrael praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu all corresponds somehow to the years of Yaakov. As it says, V'ata Kodesh Hashem, you are holy, Yoishev Tehilos Yisrael. The praises of Yisrael, of course we know that Yaakov's other name was Yisrael. And the reason that, obviously, this sounds a bit unusual to us because we know there are actually 150 chapters in Tehillim. And the reason why there are actually 147 and not 150, like we understand, is because there are various chapters in the Tehillim that by us, they are actually split into two Tehillim, but by Chazal, they were actually one perek. For example, the Gemara actually in Brachos on Daf Tes says, Am Rab Yehuda Berei Derab Shimon Ben Pazi, right? Kuf Gimel Parshis, 103 Parshis, Dovid HaMelech said, and until that point had never used the word Halleluka, praising Hashem, until he saw the downfall of the Rishoyim, then he saw it. As it says, Yitamu Chatoyim in Aretz, when sins or sinners disappear from the earth, Urishoyim Oid Enam, and there won't be any more Rishoyim. Baruch Yinavshi is Hashem Haluka. My soul will bless Hashem and use the word Haluka. Ask the Gemara, 1 second. You said it's 103, that's the end of 103 Psalms. It's not true. We know, of course, because you recognize the Psalm. It's the one we say especially on Rosh Chodesh. And we know that that's actually Psalm number 104. Kuf Dalet, not Kuf Gimel. So why are you calling it 103? Rather, we see from that what we call the first two chapters of Tehillim, the first one that starts Ashrei Ha'ish, and the second one that starts Lama Rogshu Goyim, are actually considered to be one chapter. As Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni says in quoting Rabbi Yochanan, any chapter that was very, very dear to David HaMelech, he began with the word Ashrei, and finished also with the word Ashrei. So he started the first chapter with Ashrei, Ashrei Ha'ish, and he finished that chapter with Ashrei, which is Ashrei Kol Chosebo, which is the last phrase of the second chapter. So we see chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the eyes of Chazal were actually considered to be one chapter. Right? When Tehillim was actually written, those two Mizmorim, those first two Mizmorim, were actually one Mizmor. And only afterwards, they were split into two separate Mizmorim. Now, in the responsa, Tshuva Me'ava, in Simon Kuf Yud Beis, so they asked this question to the Noida B'Yehuda, right? How can Yerushalmi say that there are 147 chapters in Tehillim, but we know there are 150, right? And so the Noda Yehuda, right, gave a very, very detailed explanation, and he explained to him exactly how we put together the various chapters together, so that it actually comes out to be 147 chapters. One can look there how he actually resolves that problem. Now the Chasam Sofer writes that the years of Yaakov Avinu were 147, and Tosfos says there in Pesachim that corresponding to that there are these 147 chapters in Tehillim. And they are able to protect us, right, on the 49 curses that Hashem threatened us with in the book of Vayikra, and the 98 curses that are in Mishnah Torah that we had in last week's Pasha Kisavai, which Moshe uttered, right, which are also a total of, right, 49 plus 98 is 147. So the Tehillim protects us from those 147 curses. And similarly, that was the Chasam Sofer on our Parsha. In his Droshas, on page 89, so he brings there that we have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that the 147 years of Yaakov Avinu protect us from the curses, both in Sefer Vayikra, the 49, and the ones in Mishnah Torah, which equal 147, which is 21 times 7. In other words, 21 times 7 is Gematria 147, and they will all be turned into a bracha through the years of Yaakov Avinu. And of course, we need to understand, how does Yaakov Avinu have the ability to cancel the 147 curses from all of from all over of Klal Yisrael. So, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph that Ezra HaSofer instituted for Klal Yisrael that they should read these curses in the book of Bechukosai before the holiday of Shavuos, and the curses in Parshas Kisavai before Rosh Hashanah. As it says, Tanya of Shem Ben Elazar Amer, he says, Ezra tikin nem Yisrael, Ezra instituted for Klal Yisrael, shiyu koyin kalala shebet Torah koinim, to read the curses in Vayikra, koyin ma'atzeres, before Shavuos, or Shem Mishnah Torah, and the ones in Mishnah Torah, koyin Rosh Hashanah. Why? My time, what's the reason? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, v'itema Reish Lakish, k'dei shetchala Hashanah v'klal Yisrael. So that we should know, as the year is ending, that's going to be the end of our curses, and please God, the new year will bring only blessings and not any curses. And the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? I understand, that makes sense, that answers the question, why the ones in Kisava, in last week's Pasha, were read, because we understand the year is about to end, and therefore we read it at year end. Fine, but however, so Parshas Kisavo, which is just for Rosh Hashanah, it makes sense that a year is about to end, right? Let's please God pray that all the curses should end also before Rosh Hashanah, before the new year. But ask the Gemara, the ones in Sefer Vayikra, what is Shavuos also considered to be a Rosh Hashanah? Is that the end of a year? And the Gemara answers, in yes. Shavuos is also Rosh Hashanah, as the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, and on Shavuos we are judged on the fruits of the tree. And in the Tveres Shleima, he explains that the words of Chazal, that through this laning we bring that the year and its curses should end, because even if there were terrible, terrible decrees, Chas v'Shalom, a terrible decree against the Jewish nation, but through reading in the Torah, that is considered as if we already accepted all the punishments in Ashdod. By just reading it, it's considered as if we actually experienced all the punishments. And therefore, we should be zeichet that the year should end and the curses should end. In fact, is what he says. He says the reason why we read the Tochachas is that we read at that time is shetachal Hashanah Klal Yisrael u'kamoy she'anim. It says, as we say, v'nishlam ha'parim sefaseinu, that our lips, by reading these things, that already takes the effect as if we actually experienced it, and we no longer have to actually experience it. We're going to talk more about this in the next segment. We're going to take a break at this moment. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Nitzavim, the ultimate Shabbos of the year. Tov Shin Pei Hei, just less than 72 hours to go until Rosh Hashanah Tov Shin Pei Vav, the new, spankling new year that we're going to go into. We are talking about the fact that when we read the Klalot, all the terrible curses in Parsha Bechukotai and in Parsha Kitavo, so it's considered, the very fact that we read it is already considered as if we have experienced, and therefore that obviates the need for us to actually, God forbid, go through any of these curses. Now, just understand a little bit how this concept works. I think the best way would be to explain the way Rabbi Shlomi Belz explains a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim Tzadi Dalid, we say it in the Shisha Yom, in the song of the day of Wednesday, we say, Ashrei HaGever, how fortunate is the man, Asher Tiyasarenu Ka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him challenges, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him suffering. Umitayra skar salamdenu. And from your Torah, he learns. Now, you have to understand, how is it possible to say that fortunate is a person that he gets, that he suffers, right? A person we need, a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes to have all sorts of sufferings. Why is that so fortunate? And he answers, because all the different places in the Torah where there are punishments and terrible curses are written and predicted. So the purpose of that is not that they should actually happen to a person in actuality, chas v'shalom. Rather, that a person should learn these parshiyos and be full of a fear and worry and dread. Maybe these things could actually happen from the fear of the judgment, and therefore come to a state of an awe, of a yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and come to a state where he will do tshuva, he'll repent and come back. And that will be considered for him as if all of these punishments actually happened to him, and there won't be any more to fulfill an actuality any of those punishments, chas v'shalom. Right? In other words, it's just like it says, just like our rabbis say in the Gemara in Menachos, that anyone who gets himself busy and gets involved in learning all the laws and the practices of the various karbonos, so we consider it as if he brought that type of sacrifice in the Beis Mikdash. And anyone who learns the laws of other karbonos, of Asham, so then it's as if he brought a karbon Asham. And that's what it means. Asher Geber, fortune is the person, Asher Tiyasrenu Ka, that Hashem will give him suffering. How will he give him suffering? In other words, the person is fortunate that the suffering that may be destined to come to him doesn't come on him actually, but rather he learns the parshiyos about all those terrible things, about all these sufferings and all these curses in the Torah, right? And learns also maybe the ethical books, the svarim of Musar that bring a person to fear and awe of Hashem. In other words, that his also all of his suffering actually comes to him mitoras kotlamdeno, from that which we learn in the Torah, in the learning of all those different subjects in the Torah, and that is considered as if all these sufferings came upon him in actuality. So they tell a story about the Saba from Shipoli. It's actually brought in, I saw in the Sefer Torah of Munkach. Says that in his city there was a widow with two daughters, and her late husband was known as someone who was a very, very God-fearing person and a trustworthy person. And therefore, even after his death, so they supported, right, his wife by, they would, she used to make this honey type of drink, this meds. She would make it, and they would sell it. And the day happened, God forbid, where this widow herself became very, very ill, with a very, really sort of a dangerous illness, and she literally was on death's door, and her two daughters ran very quickly to the Saba from Shpuli to ask mercy for their mother, and they were crying, terrible crying, and the Rav said to them that they should bring some of that med to the grave of their father. And they should say to him that they're sending him this in order of the guest that's going to come very soon to him, which is their mother. And when the two daughters heard this, they were so upset. They were so pained, they actually fainted. Until there was actually a need to revive them and sort of pour water on them, cold water, to get them back conscious. And when they finally came to, the Rebbe said to them, go home, because Baruch Hashem, the situation has already improved. And Be'ez Hashem, very shortly, she'll be as healthy as she ever was. And in fact, that is actually what happened. The people who were there in the room of the Rebbe were amazed on what the Rebbe had done. He's so frightened the daughters and caused them to faint. And the Rebbe explained to them, no, it's true that this Amona, this widow, was a very, very sort of discreet woman, and she had tremendous Yiras Hashem. However, her daughters are not as sincere as they look. You know, they're sort of frumer outside than they are in their actual behavior. And because of their sins, it was decreed this terrible punishment on the mother that she actually died. And when I saw how affected they were, that mamish, they were so upset by this, I said to them that they should take some meds to their father in the basic forest. Right? And then they fell on the ground and they actually felt as if they already experienced, as if their mother had already died. And with that, they received the punishment they deserved, and the mother could then recover fully. Based on this, we can come and explain the words of the Chasam Sofer that we started with. How come it is Dafka Yaakov Avinu, with his 147 years, how does he protect all the Jewish nation from the 147 curses? And basically what we're saying, we can answer the question. Because our entire knowledge of the war that existed between Yaakov and Esav was a spiritual war. And Esav had permission from Shemayim to actually start up, to affect Yaakov Avinu. However, right? But when it happened that Yaakov says, "Vayiro Yaakov ma'od vayetzelay," Yaakov was very, very afraid, and he was very pained by the upcoming meeting with Esav. Therefore, the fear and the trepidation that he had because of a meeting his brother Esav, that was already considered as if he already received. And that the terrible decree was already enacted on him. And it's as if Esav already was successful in hurting him. So too, by all the other generations, when Esav HaRasha stands up and starts accusing or making tzaras for the Jewish nation, the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, and he wants to do terrible things to them and damage them, right? So if we can just elicit within ourselves that yira, that fear, that trepidation that Yaakov Avinu had, in order that it should be considered as if we already have been punished, the Jewish nation has been punished, we already received the punishment, and we'll be able to carry on with a good gezunta life and with peace. Therefore, through the 147 years, he is able to turn all of the curses into blessings. In the Imrei Noam, he writes over there that this is also very, very relevant to the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Because if a person kind of becomes conscious and contemplates the fact how we have spent our entire life, sort of damaging, hurting, basically punching HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face every single time we do Averis, and he sits down and sort of takes a good hard look at himself and judges himself that certainly he is deserving of all sorts of terrible, terrible punishments. And he's afraid in his heart. And he has that sort of that pit in the pit of his stomach. His stomach has butterflies, and his butterflies are butterflies about what's going to be with me. That in the Beis Din in Shamayim, who knows what they're going to paskin against, what they're going to decide against him. So then, when he really, really thinks that way, and he really is convinced that maybe he is guilty, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if he's already received all of his punishment in the fact that he imagines to himself the terrible situation he is, and he can save himself from any of the discipline, any of the judgments of Rosh Hashanah. And this is what it means when the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman 584, Sifkat Nalef, regarding the Inuit, that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. It's Yontif, but we don't say Hallel. Why? L'fishe Sifrei Achayim V'Amesim Pesuchim. Because the books of the living and the dead are open, are out on the table. They're all there. How can we say songs of praise? And even though we are confident that we're going to be able to be innocent in the judgment, nevertheless, a person has to be afraid and really, really shaking almost from the awe of the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in such a way, he'll be remembered in a beneficial way, in a way that will bring him a wonderful, wonderful new year. So we see here that the awe and the trepidation and that sort of that sickening feeling in one's stomach from the upcoming judgments, they actually affect us as a zchus, as a merit. Right. And regarding this, the Rav Eliyahu Lupian says in one of his Shmuzin in Elch, and he actually said it in the Beis Medrash of the Yeshiva in Panovich, where he spoke on the fear and the awe that one needs to sort of make himself fear as the days of Rosh Hashanah are coming close. He says, Yavaliel says, I remember that when I was in Russia, so there was a judgment, a huge case against two people that sinned against the government. When the day of the judgment came, so the two were brought to the Supreme Court there, and there they sat in front of them were the panel of judges. Right. One of the accused sat, and you could see mamish the fear and the panic etched all over his face. His limbs were trembling, right? And so his whole body was seized with trembling, and he was sweating profusely all the time. And the judges had mercy on him, on such a person. And they actually exonerated him in judgment. On the other hand, the second accused sat there sort of calm and unruffled, sort of with a poker face, and he had complete confidence in himself, and he smiled to everyone around. And that actually caused the judges to become angry, and they judged him straight away that he should be hung. The fear and the trepidation because of the upcoming judgments, says Evelio, are able to help the person merit in the judgment. That Rav Tzvi, Emeya Zilberberg, Shlita, told about one of the great tzaddikim before the Second World War. Well, unfortunately, in the city where he was Rav, there was a certain activity that was taking place that really did not find favor in his eyes. And throughout the entire Chodesh Elul, he was speaking and trying to arouse the tzibur, that they should improve their actions. And he spoke to them in a very sort of very sharp way. And he made them really, really afraid until at the end of the day, at the end of the time, they all did tshuva and they actually fixed up that area of behavior. On Moitz Yom Kippur, after Tfilas Ma'ariv, the Rav made an announcement in the city that since there was a aspect of what he called Yesh Din Lamata, we ourselves took the matter in hand down here through our arousal to do to tshuva. Therefore, there would not be any din in Shemayim, and they would have a year, a beautiful, good, and sweet year, out to the point that no one would die in that city. And therefore, he asked to be given the keys to the Beis HaKvaros from the Chevra Kaddish. They should give him the keys because in that year they wouldn't need to open the Beis HaKvaros because no one was going to die. And in fact, that's actually what happened. Not a single person in that entire year died. The Einikel of the Yismach Moshe wrote a composition called Tehillah L'Moshe, right? And he had in there all the kvitlach, all that the Yismach Moshe used to write for himself. And he brings there a story about the Yismach Moshe when he was young, that the Yismach Moshe in his youth already was zoiche to mamish, he was on an incredible, incredible high level. Erev Hashanah, on his way to shul for Tfilas Mincha, he saw people that were mamish in a state of fright from the upcoming Rosh Hashanah. And a thought came into his heart that he doesn't need to be afraid, because he did not do a single sin during the year. But obviously, you could imagine his level of holiness that he was able to say that about himself. On Rosh Hashanah night, when he went to sleep, so he saw in a dream how they're bringing in all of his Torah and all of his tefillah, and all of his good deeds, and they're bringing it all in front of the Beis Din Shalmala. And the Malachim are standing, and they're accusing him that all these things are not enough. And therefore, he should be judged and found guilty. And the Yismach Moshe began to cry in his dream that they should have Rachmanis on him. He woke up and he saw it was a dream. And he said the following pasuk. It's known in the Gemara that says, Al tarbu tedabru gavaya gavaya. Don't speak so great, so highly about yourself. Yetzei osuk mipichem ki kel deyas Hashem. Hashem knows everything. The loy nisku anias. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that a person does, all of his inner thoughts, and all of the, even his evil desires. And who can say that I've had a perfect year? And therefore, don't even enter your mind that there's nothing for us to be afraid of and to worry about on the Yom HaDin. Even someone who really has had a good year and he's been good the whole year, night and day, right? And then said the Yismach Moshe, that there's no creation on this world that has nothing to fear on the Yom HaDin. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a minute with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Hilchos Shabbos Kodesh. Pashas Nitzavim Tov Shin Pehei. And we're learning the laws of Shabbos. We're learning the laws of fire and electricity. And we're saying that just as one may not turn on any electrical appliance by pressing a button, so too one may not sort of activate something by any kind of remote control device, even though there's no direct contact between sort of the finger pressing a button on the remote control and the appliance, since this is the normal way to turn on such appliances, it is forbidden just as an actual manual activation would be forbidden. Now the question remains, very big question. The question is electricity and electrical appliances, is it actual a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? So one may not activate electrical appliances and devices such as telephones or microphones, alarms, doorbells, fans, air cons, and computers on Shabbos, even if those appliances do not contain an incandescent filament or heating element, and do not perform any of the 39 melachos, it is still forbidden to use them on Shabbos. And the Acharonim disagree, however, whether the prohibition is a Torah law or a rabbinic law. And it's an important discussion to have, because there are ramifications in terms of severity of the prohibition and what we can permit in certain circumstances. But it actually goes beyond the time we have on this show, so we're going to leave it, please God, for next week. Bez Hashem, we can try to get right through the holiday period and try to put together a show every single week. But right now, I want to take this opportunity, as we reach the last Shabbos of Tov Shin Pei Hei, to first of all thank all of our radio family, not just for listening in this week, but for being such loyal fans and creating a base of interest, of listenership, that first of all, on its very basic level, allows the show to continue. If no one was listening, then they'd pull the show in a minute. So there's a great appreciation to all of you for pitching in. And I hope, and I daven, that please God, this show has given us insight, has helped us grow a bit, has made our Shabbosos something more special, something more unique than maybe it was even before. At the same time, I want to take this opportunity to give every single one of us a bracha, a blessing, as we start the new year, that we should all be written and inscribed and sealed for Shana Tova Masuka, a good and sweet year, a year of Parnasa, a year of Simchas, a year of health, a year of Shalom, both in our own minds, in our own families, in our own communities, and of course, please God, throughout the entire world. May those who need to come home. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal His name to the whole world, so that all the fighting, all the quarrels will be replaced by a unique and total recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I want to end by wishing all of you a good Shabbos and a k'siva b'chassima teiva. Kol tov.